Rock Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Canucks day off today as they are enjoying the spoils of victory. A 4-3 shootout win in Calgary as they move level on points with the Flames at 71. Tied for the second wild card, though Calgary does have a game in hand. And it's the captain, it's Elias Pettersson. What we've been waiting for, Sat, the Canucks' top players lead them to a big win in a big spot.
Yeah, and it's amazing how different everybody felt about everything when you see star players step up and a player, at least for one night, earn his contract, right? And it was nice to see. It was a nice breath of fresh air within what's been a lot of doom and gloom recently. And it came off a really big third because for 40 minutes, that doom and gloom was very, very dark and wet and cold. But they pulled it out of that darkness and got a big win.
Kind of like Vancouver lately, dark, wet, and cold. After we got a nice little brief feeling of spring for a while there, but you know, it was two periods where the Canucks, I think, had 12 shots on goal through the first 40 minutes, and somebody was at me on Twitter today being like, well, this didn't age well. I'm like, well, it was a factual statement at the time. They definitely did have 12 shots on goal through 40 minutes of play, and then they figured it out in the third. And ultimately, you finally saw the desperation that this team needs to play with probably from now until the end of the season to lock down their playoff spot.
Yeah, this absolutely is, right? And I mean, can you, for 17 more nights, play the way you did in the third period for 60 full minutes? Unlikely, but this has to be what you see for, what, 80% of the time?
Can you give me 40 minutes like that?
Yeah.
Like, if you play 40 minutes like you did in the third last night, you're probably winning most of those games.
Yeah, you are. But at the same time, like, the problem with this team is they haven't been able to harness that sense of urgency and have it sustain more than, you know, some moments and sometimes fleeting moments. And last night in the third period, they played like their season was on the line.
Yeah.
And that's what brought them to that level. It shows you what they're capable of, but it's how, you know, how deep they have to dig to get there, right? And can you do that consistently? That's what I want to see, right? And there are a lot of things to like about last night. And could last night be a galvanizing moment for the team, considering how they won? Quinn Hughes came back. Pettersson had a big game. Could that be the spark plug? Maybe that's the latest straw we're grasping at. But it was a big win, right? This was the biggest game of the season, and they did come through. It's not like we're talking about, you know, a good performance in game number 42, right? Like, this was the biggest game of the year, and this is crunch time.
That's where we're headed with the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
It's the Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And yeah, you mentioned it. Is that a galvanizing performance, Sat? And to me, I want to be glass half full on this thing, but I also, as previously mentioned, know that it was really just the one period where they were able to pick up that kind of level of play. And while some of their games recently have been, I wouldn't say impressive, but there's been, I guess, signs of progress in their process as a team, even if it hasn't resulted in a really strong run of results. But I want to believe, I'm just conditioned right now with the way that this team has performed on the whole of the season, that it was just one good period, and I'm still going to withhold judgment as they get to a big weekend against Chicago and Utah Saturday, Sunday.
So I think that's fair. I don't think there's anything wrong with that because, you know, everything that we've seen so far, right, and where this team has been at. But at the same time, I don't think we're just talking about one game. I know there's been lots of frustration, lots of hand-wringing, but one thing we have discussed and the reason why, people didn't care about it so much was we're in a results moment. This isn't about good process. You had a good game. You deserved better. It's about getting results. But for the last 10 games, the Canucks have actually played pretty good, right? Like they've been outchancing the opposition on more occasions than they had previously in the season. They've generated a little bit more. They've been better defensively, especially since getting Marcus Pettersson. The PK has been a lot better. So over that 10 game stretch, the Canucks are actually, one of the worst teams when it comes to PDO. Remember last year, everyone made a big deal about the Canucks PDO? Well, for the last 10 games, much of the season, actually, they've been below the bar, but especially so the last 10 games, they're at 954. And also, they have the third lowest shooting percentage, 5-on-5, over that stretch. Is this a time where maybe, because Pettersson is getting going, he's got 3 goals in his last 4 games, you look at Quinn Hughes coming back in the lineup, could this actually be a moment where they get going a bit? And I'm not saying they're going to win 5 or 6 in a row, but we start seeing them win more games than they're losing.
They don't have any finishers, Sat. Like, I'm not surprised they don't have a high shooting percentage right now. Who's finishing on this team?
Fair enough. But I mean, are guys like DeBrusque and Besser going to remain ice cold the rest of the year? We're not talking about guys who are incapable of scoring.
Yeah.
DeBrusque, you know, it leads the team in scoring. Besser scored 40 last year. He scored over 20.
Besser hasn't scored since, you know, the Four Nations break. So.
Yeah. Can he get you 3 goals, 4 goals the rest of the season?
Right.
Like, we're not talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, right? Like, I don't think it's unrealistic to expect a guy like Besser to score a few goals at the very least. Like, we're not sitting here and talking about expecting Nils Åman to pot 4.
Yeah. I guess I'm still curious about how they generate offense. Is it still too much from the perimeter? We started to see a little bit more, you know, chipping away at it against Montreal, and Sam Montembeault had to make a couple of big saves. And last night, they didn't really get a lot going until the third period. And I think that the goal from Pettersson kind of outlines what this team needs more of, especially from him, right? He holds on to a puck, waits for a play to develop, plays it up to Mancini, and then instead of waiting on the half wall, instead of staying out on the perimeter, he goes straight to the net, knowing that Mancini's probably looking for a shot there and hoping for a rebound. Like, the move your feet part of it is big in that moment. And it just feels like some of the things that they've been talking about, that Rick Tocchet has been trying to hammer home, we started to see in last night's game. So maybe that does put me in a little bit more of an optimistic mindset about it. It's just, you know, this forward group just does not inspire a ton of confidence. They're going to need the best version of Elias Pettersson really through these final 17. And beyond that, you're hoping to get some contributors beside him.
You really are. And they need it, right? I mean, and you sound skeptical, Reach, and I get it. It's like you've been burned a lot this season, even on Elias Pettersson. Like, you sound a bit more skeptical. I saw you on social media today too, kind of saying, you know, you're not there on Pettersson being back. And ultimately,
how can I be there? It's one period. It's one game.
Okay. So you say it's one game, right? But it's 3 goals in his last 4.
Okay.
Okay. It's the best stretch that he's had recently.
Yeah.
Like, he's played some better hockey recently.
Yeah,
like,
he was an absolute no-show in that game against Dallas.
No, he wasn't a complete no-show. I think you're over. Like, he wasn't great, but I mean,
I
think
you're -3. He made a couple of big defensive mistakes. It was not good.
Yeah, it wasn't good, but I mean, I don't think he was horrible. You look at the impact he had on the other end of the ice. He wasn't, like, I don't think he was as bad as you make him out to be. But nonetheless, he wasn't great. I get it. He didn't have a good game. But since then, he's had a few good games. Like, he's moving better. When I sit here and talking about he scored 1 goal in 1 period and he's been silent for 4 straight games, like, he's had, like, 3 goals in his last 4. I'm with you. I'm not here sitting here declaring he's back, Petey's back, and, you know, they have the John Wick meme going. Like, I get it. I know everybody wants to get there, and I hope we are there. And if not, we get there very soon. But yeah, you need to see a bit more. But like, it was something to be encouraged about. Like, scored a goal, had an assist, scored a shootout goal.
Yeah,
made some good defensive plays. Like, he won faceoffs.
These are all positive things. Okay, and I'm more like I am playing devil's advocate. I know how good Elias Pettersson can be. It's I've just convinced myself that I'm not going to see that version overnight. And he has been progressing a lot more lately. I don't know what happened. That five-game road trip after the Four Nations face-off was maybe some of the worst hockey we've ever seen Elias Pettersson play. And then he comes back home. He has that mea culpa. And now the five games since then is the stretch that you've been talking about. You know, the three goals, what does he have, 5 points, 4 points in that stretch. So pretty good. You know, even that game against Anaheim that started it all, it was like, wow, that was a strong performance from Pettersson. He really showed a lot of the things that you wanted to see. And so it's been building. And last night felt like a bit more of a culmination of that. But we have had other points this year where it felt like it was starting to come, right? When Miller was out with the absence, he had a really good stretch of production. You know, I think it was only two goals or something, but he did have around a point per game with Miller out of the lineup. There has been moments, there have been stretches, but the biggest issue with Pettersson has been his consistency. So what is there in this sample to tell us that something real has changed? Is there anything in this sample that suggests there is more than just a hot streak in Elias Pettersson right now?
There are more indicators. So remember when we had these discussions even 20 games ago, and you know, I'd maintain, I'm like, yeah, it's good he had a good game, but there isn't a lot of evidence recently to suggest like he's really turning a corner. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's still not close to being where he needs to be, and it's still not where he needs to be, and we'll get to you know, what Pettersson thinks he has to give still, right? But, you know, as far as the last 10 games, one big thing since JT's been traded has been, can someone step up in the faceoff circle? They need to win more faceoffs. We saw it the other night. He won a big one, right? At the end of the game to preserve the win. You saw him win some good faceoffs last night and a lot of big moments. And the last 10 games, he's 55.3% in the faceoff circle. He says he's been working on some new techniques. He's at 51% the last 20 games. So we're not talking about just the last 10. Like the last 20, the last 10, he's been really good. And it's coming up big. It's some big moments already, right? And you're talking about the other indicator that we discussed quite a bit was his top speed, but more importantly, his bursts are down significantly. The last few years, he was near the top of the league in those categories. And the one thing that was completely non-existent for the first like 35 games of the year was a speed burst. He only had like two in the first 20 or something. It was mind-boggling how low it was, well below the 50th percentile. As much as a top speed, yes, he's hit some higher peaks. He's in the 72nd percentile, so he's in the top third of the league with top speed now. So he's moved up in terms of his overall top speed. But the bursts have gone up past the 55th percentile. He's gone up significantly in the amount of bursts he's had. That's not a coincidence with his offensive production, I don't think, and with moments he's been more productive and or at least more alive in how he's played recently. So I do think when you look under the hood and you look closely at where he's been, his skating speed is getting better. His bursts are getting better. And remember we talked about how his shot speed was off, how he couldn't shoot the puck, and it wasn't even as nearly as hard as it used to be. Well, now it's up to the 94th percentile in the league with 93.3 miles per hour. So the indicators that suggest that he was far gone have come to life again. Does that mean he's back? I certainly hope so, but he's giving himself a chance now in the final 17 games to prove it.
I hope he's back and better than ever. You know, that's ultimately what this team needs more than anything, to get back on the right track towards becoming a Stanley Cup contender. Raymond makes a good point. Other points in the season, he wasn't looking this confident with the puck. I agree with that. You know, the way he set up the third goal last night, you know, essentially waiting for the play to open up and then following up for Mancini's rebound, really good sign. The way he scored the other night against Montreal, you know, directing traffic on the power play to set up the look that he was hoping to get, and then he finishes the play off once he has the screen set up and he has the seeing eye wrist shot into the top corner. Like, these are things we just hadn't seen enough of, this kind of assertiveness, this playing with confidence and conviction in what he needs to do. The lack of hesitation in his game, it has been evident to me over the last couple. I'm just, I've been scorned over the last year in seeing elements of Pettersson's game starting to come together. So I'm just saying I'm going to wait till we see. I want to see it for the rest of the year. Period. Bottom line. Pettersson playing at this level, continuing this after last night. And one of the things that gives me a little bit more confidence as well on this is what Rick Tocchet had to say post last night after the game against Calgary when he was asked about Elias Pettersson. Here's what he had to say.
I think he's stringing some good games together. You know, we talked about not getting too high and too low. You know, sometimes the lows were really low and it can affect as a player. Same thing now. He's getting his game together. But I can see him leaving after the game, shook his hand there, you know, good game, but it was like, hey, I got more to go. So, like, I like that. You know, he's got the even keel. He's going to put the work in and, you know, we'll continue to grind.
I've got more to go. And that's his reaction to the coach after the game. You know, that's, personally, that's something I love to hear because I know that as good as Pettersson was, and especially in the third period last night in the shootout goal, which, you know, he just froze Dustin Wolf with how he played that, which was incredible. And he made it look so incredibly easy, which it isn't. There's such good elements there. But, you know, we all know that there's such a high level in this player that we know that there's still more he can give.
There certainly is. And I do think we're going to see it again, like we talked about. It's just a matter of, can he do it this year? And the big question to me was, is he capable of doing so with his skating, the lack of power in his game? And it's not fully back, but based on the numbers we mentioned, like, again, like he went from having only two, like, bursts above 20 miles per hour in that whole speed burst category in the first, like, 20-some games, he's up to 62 on the season.
Yeah.
And the vast majority have come the past, like, 15, 20 games. You know, like, that's where it's come. So if you're showing you're capable of getting there more often and you're able to carry the puck more efficiently and you can fight through contact a lot better, I think it gives yourself a chance. And, you know, I know David Chilliwack says he doesn't see the benefit of making the playoffs because I think he worries about guys getting hurt with Pettersson, with Hughes and Demko and his issues and how it's maybe bad for them. I completely disagree. I think it's great for these guys to go through the playoffs. I want to see Pettersson get hot and then prove that he can be productive in the postseason. Even if this team only goes out in the first round or makes it to the second round, I think if he can prove that, it would go a long, long way in not only giving everyone confidence in Pettersson again, but also a belief that you can win here. And perhaps the guy that's most important to convince, Quinn Hughes, can see that as well. And that makes a bigger difference in his desire to stay here in Vancouver.
Yeah, and put to rest any idea that you know, there's going to be a big trade at the draft or anything like that. You know, if Pettersson's the one that can change that the most with his play on the ice. You mentioned Quinn Hughes and his quote after the game about Elias Pettersson. I know everybody's reading into it a ton. I want to know from you if there is something to read into this. Here's Quinn Hughes post-game about Elias Pettersson.
I mean, he's an excellent, excellent player, and I just said it out there. You don't get to where he's at as a player in person without being competitive and having inner drive, and it's been a tough go for him this year, but you know, for him to show up the way he has the last couple games, that's big time, and we're going to continue to need him to do it, and I know he will, so really happy for him.
The vote of confidence from the captain that Elias Pettersson's going to continue on this, and given everything that's gone on with and around Pettersson, going back to the drama with JT Miller, people are reading a ton into this. Is there something to read into Quinn speaking so eloquently about Elias Pettersson?
Outside of Quinn did what a good captain does, and that is talk up a player who needs to be talked up and defend him publicly. I think that's a great move as a captain to do. I think it helps Pettersson too, because he's the type of guy that I think responds to that. And I don't think it's just lip service. I think we know Quinn Hughes well enough now. We know he's not a disingenuous person. And if he's ever not being fully honest, you can tell the way he is and based on how he answers the question. To me, that was a very earnest answer. And again, if we're looking at the whole idea of keeping Quinn Hughes here long term, if Pettersson shows he's that player and Quinn Hughes believes in him, will that not help him stay here long term?
it's your best chance at giving a Robin to Quinn Hughes' Batman, because the Canucks absolutely need it, right? And, you know, we've talked about this through all the trade rumors, and I know there's still people out there that would just do anything to get rid of Pettersson's contract and have the cap space. I mean, your best chance at a superstar player is having Elias Pettersson remain in Vancouver and him rediscovering his game and finding the heights that he used to have. There's not a trade out there that gets you a or nets you a better player. I don't see it. I don't believe that it exists. And you're probably going to end up watching Elias Pettersson blossom back into the superstar he was before this past 12-month stretch somewhere else. And then you're not going to like that very much either. So that's, I think, a big part of what Quinn is saying here as well is, and what he knows as a player, the heights that Pettersson can get to being a top 10 center in the league. If you're going to build a Stanley Cup contender, what are the two things you need outside of great goaltending? You need a top of the line franchise center and you need a top of the line defenseman. And as long as the Canucks have that, if Pettersson can get back to that, then they have the most difficult elements to build a Stanley Cup contender here in Vancouver already.
Let's just pray it happens, man, honestly.
I'm still pumping the brakes on it, but you want to see Pettersson get back to that level.
I liked what Hannah said in the text inbox. I'd rather be excited about the possibility that Pettersson is back than worry about the chance that he's not. That's well said.
All right. Love that, Hannah. All right. Canuck Central Roundup. Playoff odds with 17 to go, 30% for the Vancouver Canucks. They lead the way with the rest of the teams chasing that second wild card down in the Western Conference per Money Puck. Calgary and St. Louis, though, are at 29%.
Huge
right
gap.
Right there.
Huge gap.
Yeah. And Utah is not too far behind with a 24% chance of making that second wild card spot. Utah is in town on Sunday. Canucks will be hosting back-to-backs this weekend at Rogers Arena. It was a big night for Victor Mancini. Big night, 18-plus minutes. Obviously, Elias Pettersson was out with the injury, has his first assist as a Canuck, a plus one, one hit, four blocks. A lot to like about this player, Sad. Have you come around now on Mancini?
I was never out on Mancini. All I said was, you know,
he told me I was out to lunch after I liked his first game. This is crazy.
Well, yeah, you said he was good the first game.
He had a bad first game.
He had a bad first game. The game wasn't good. I was like, that was a rough first game. Let's not, you know,
it was a rough solid. You make it seem like I put him as first star. Like,
I don't know. You were very excited, Reach. Maybe I was just being an ass, but I don't know. But nonetheless, I never said he was bad. He's bad, but nonetheless, yes. You know what? I was impressed. I have been impressed the last couple of games. He's been really good, right? And I think he's showing a lot better defensive awareness. He's an active player. He plays with a lot of enthusiasm, which I love, right? He's not this, like, necessarily nasty, gnarly player, but he plays hard. He's physical. He has a lot of enthusiasm in his game. And the most impressive thing about his offensive game to me is his ability to get a shot off and through, and he gets it low, and it has a lot of heaviness to it. He always creates rebounds, and not only did it lead to the Pettersson goal, almost created a goal right afterwards too on another shot that he had. And that's a real weapon. If you get to have that type of shot that creates rebounds from the point, that can help you offensively in a real big way. I mean, he's already shown he's better at doing it than most of the defensemen on the left side outside of Quinn Hughes.
Really impressive night for Mancini. And you know what? If he becomes a player for this team, it makes that Miller trade a little bit easier to digest. Connor Zary gets a 2-game suspension for his hit to the head of Elias Pettersson, DPD. DPD laid the massive open ice hit on Nazem Kadri, and then Zary attacked him. Somehow the referees on the ice only called it an interference minor, and NHL Department of Player Safety tries to rectify that by giving him a 2-game suspension. He should have been ejected last night, but can't live in the past. Canucks still found a way to get the 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's a dirty hit. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I think it's absolutely ridiculous to not think that's a dirty hit. I mean,
I don't know why they didn't call five and then at least have the ability to review it. I mean, it's so obvious. It's a retaliatory hit, predatory in a way, because Pettersson is not even there. Like, he's got his back to Zary. He doesn't know Zary's coming when he goes and attacks him from behind and hits him in the head.
Yeah, but I will say, like, when I watched it in real time, you could see the angle where the replay shows on the slow motion. That's not the game angle for it. That's another angle that's closed in. When you watch it in game time, you kind of don't catch it. It kind of just looks like Zeri jumps him a little bit. Like, you know, it doesn't really, I didn't catch it till after the first period when I had to look at it closely. So in the first intermission, we didn't even really talk about it outside of him drawing the penalty after throwing the hit, because I missed the fact that it was an elbow. It was after I saw Josh's tweet and looked at it closely that we realized, okay, that's a really dirty play. So I can see how you get it wrong. Like, it was a penalty in that sense. But I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous to have any take other than that's a dirty hit.
So Connor Zeri getting a 2-game suspension after that, and hopefully Elias Pettersson is okay. We'll get some updates on the Canucks injured players, Tyler Myers and Elias Pettersson, tomorrow when the Canucks return to practice. Coming up, Landon Ferraro is going to join us. His take on Elias Pettersson's resurgence. And I did something last night that I've never done before. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. It is Canuck Central on Sportsnet 650.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.